so good to be in the house of God tonight. It's so good to be in the presence of the Lord. I was asked to make mention that Sister Leek is going to need a ride to church for the next couple of weeks. And if you're available to do that, please contact myself or Sister Marjorie, so we can get that situated. But you know, as I was being told that she needed a ride, my mind goes places, and it always jumps to different. I have ADHD, so my mind goes from one place to another real quick. You can be seated tonight. My mind went to an image that I saw on Facebook, and it was a politician standing up, and it was he was asking everybody, who wants change? And of course, all the congregation or all the people there were raising their hand. They wanted change. And then it came to a point where they asked, well, did you, the next picture, it showed the same politician asking, who wants to change? And nobody's hand was up. So there's a difference between wanting change and being changed. Amen. You've got to want to, in order to get the change that you want, sometimes we have to find it in ourselves to start out as the change. We've got to figure out whatever it is in our life that we need to do, whatever it is in the world that we can do, whatever it is for God that we can do. We want to be the change. Amen. Amen. I'm going to turn your attention to Luke, the 18th chapter. And starting in the first verse, I'm so thankful that we have a God who loves us, a God who, in spite of who we are, in spite of everything that we've ever done in life, he loves us. He doesn't make his love conditional. He doesn't make his love something that you have to earn. He just loves you. And he loves each and every one of us tonight. And as I begin to go through this scripture, I want you to keep in mind that God, there is a God, a creator of the universe, somebody who created celestial beings, angels who could love him. And he desires your love. He desires the love of his people who he loves so dearly. Amen. And the Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men, amen, and women ought to always pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversaries. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because of this widow, she troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. Amen. Let us pray real quick. Mighty God, we come before you tonight, God, asking that you anoint these lips of clay, God. That you would, God, help me to deliver the word, God, that I feel in my spirit tonight, God. God, help me, God, to touch, God, somebody's life, God, that you, through you, God, for your glory, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If we continue in the scripture that we were looking at, amen, we find a woman who continued to go to her king or to the person who she knew had an answer to her situation. Amen, Brother Reuben? She continued to go to this person because she knew that was the one thing that she could go to get her problem fixed. Amen. And as she continued to go over and over, within himself, within the king's self, he found a situation where he was not just tired of hearing her problem, but he really started to understand, you know, if I do something about the problem, I won't have to hear about the problem. Amen. And if you continue in the scripture, here's what we find. He says, and the Lord said to this, and this is interesting because the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Amen. And what he's saying is, if I want you to pay attention to somebody who has no godly understanding, somebody who does not understand the principles of God, he understands that there is a trouble that can be fixed by fixing the problem. And he says, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he hear, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Amen. Tonight, I want to talk to you for just a little bit on a message titled, It's Me Again, Lord. Amen. It's me again, Lord. You see, I wonder tonight how many times we have shielded away from the prayer line. We have not gone to the prayer line when pastor calls for prayer. Or we felt inadequate enough to approach the throne of God about something that we have once already talked to God about. Something that we have already taken to the prayer room. Something that we've already taken to the prayer closet. I wonder how many times we say, well, surely God understands my need. Surely God understands my situation. Why would I need to repeat my situation to God? He knows the scripture. I've read the scripture over and over where he says he knows my problem even before I ask. And so why would I need to go to a prayer room to find and talk to God about this? Amen. But I remember as my daughter Savannah was young, she came up to me one day and she said, Daddy, I want to tell you a joke. And I thought, oh boy, my kids are not good at jokes. And so she says, knock, knock. And I said, who's there? And she said, banana. And I said, banana who? And she said, knock, knock. Now hold on. I'm not very smart, but I know that knock-knock jokes are typically supposed to have a punchline. And so I said, well, that's not, no, no. And she said, Daddy, 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 just keep going. And I said, okay, knock-knock. I said, who's there? Banana. Banana who? Knock-knock. Who's there? Banana. Banana who? Knock-knock. Who's there? Banana, banana who? Knock, knock, who's there? Banana, who? Knock, knock, who's there? Banana, who? And I got really sick and tired of hearing banana because I knew he was coming back for another knock, knock. I thought, my God, no more knock, knocks. This banana guy's got to get. And so I stood there and I'm like, man, I was just about at my wit's end. Because really, I was working, I was doing something, and she's following around. Knock, knock, who's there? Banana, banana, who? Knock, knock, who's there? Banana, banana, who? Knock, knock, banana. Hold on. I got to get there. Finally, she gets to a point where she says, knock, knock. And I said, who's there? And she said, banana. And I said, banana, who? Knock, knock, who's there? And when I was about to fall to my knees, she said, orange. Understand why I felt so good, but it just sure did feel good when she said, I said, orange who? And I was sure orange was coming back for another knock knock. And she said, orange, you glad I didn't say banana? You see, sometimes in order in your situation to see the victory, to see the glory, to see what God is really doing, sometimes God just wants you to know, how desperate are you? How bad do you really want this blessing? Do you really want to give up now? Or are you willing to go back for another knock knock? Are you willing to go back to God and get back in the prayer line? Get back in the prayer closet. Get back to where God can meet your need. Because we have a God who is interested in doing something for you. Amen. See, I remember a long time ago I had a boss who used to always give me a hard time. I wanted so bad to have a raise. I worked at a financial institution and I wanted a raise so very bad. And I needed to get a promotion in order to do that. And I would go to him and I would sit in his office and I would say, look, I want to get to that financial representative too. I'm a one right now. I need to get to the two. And he said, well, you don't really have the qualifications. And he laid out a paper and he said, here's all the qualifications that you need. And so, boy, I took that paper. I took it to heart and I held on to it. And every time I met a qualification, Brother Reuben, I marked it off. I just kept checking. I just kept on going through and checking everything that I could. And it finally got to a point where I had met all the qualifications. I felt like, yes, this is it. This is my moment. And so I took that paper in with me into my boss's office, and I sat down and I said, here's what I got. I want to know if I can have that raise. I want to know if I can have that next promotion. And he said, well, here's the problem. You're not a team player. I'm not a team player. I do everything I'm asked to do. He says, well, here's the problem. Every time we go out to the club, and every time we go out to the bar, and every time we go out to different events, you never want to come. I threw the paper on his desk and I said, I'm sorry that I've got different principles and a different set of standards than you do, but I need to do something for God, and I'm not going to sell out. I'm not going to give up and try to get something and sacrifice my salvation. But it did not stop me from wanting my raise. The fact that I did not meet his qualification did not stop me from wanting my raise. And so what did I do? I said, you know what? I'm going to just keep bugging him about it. And so every week I would go inside of his office and put that paper on his desk. And I would say, here's my qualifications. I know I don't go to the bar with you, but I want that raise. And you know what? He would say, oh, well, we'll see in a couple months. And then the next week I would go into his office and I would put that paper on his desk and say, there's all the qualifications. I need them all. I want my raise. I want my raise. Week after week, month after month, I would do it again and again. And it finally came to a point where he finally looked at me and he said, look, I've already told you what you need to do. Why don't you come to this event with us? We're going to go to this club. I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. It's just not who I am. And see, he got frustrated. And so what did I do? I didn't get mad and start yelling at him. You know what I did? I went home and I got on my knees. And I prayed a simple prayer. Something I had heard a long time ago. I said, God, move the situation or move me. God, move the situation or move me. Sometimes we've got to get it in ourselves that we got to realize, God, move the situation or move me. Do something. I've got to change. The situation's got to change. And so, it wasn't 2 months later. I was called by his boss. And she said, hey, I've got this project I need you to go to with me, and I need you to help me out with this. So we went and we did the project together, and it was in Selma, and we finished the project there, and we came back. And when I came back, she said, hey, I need you to come into the office real quick. And I thought, boy, I'm in trouble. So I went into the office and I sat down. And she said, I want to know why he hasn't got his promotion yet. And she looked at his boss, my boss, and she said, I want to know why he doesn't have his raise yet. And she said, well, he doesn't go out and do this and do that, and so I'm trying to work on him to get him to be a team player. She said, that's not your decision. He meets all the qualifications. You need to give him his raise. And you know what she did? Not only did she give me my raise, but she picked me up and took me to open up a brand new branch. And God moved my situation. I don't care what they say. You keep going back to the situation. You keep going back to God. You keep asking God, God, move me or move this. And God's going to hear your voice. Or the situation's going to hear your voice. And the situation's going to get sick and tired of hearing your voice. Amen. Amen. I'm reminded of a man by the name of Blind Bartimaeus, who the Bible says that he went out because there was a bunch of commotion going on. There was a bunch of people gathering around. And the Bible says that he sat by a highway begging. That was his life. Asking all the time. Could you give me just a little bit of something? Could you give me something? Could you give me this? Could you give me that? But see, he was blind. And what he really wanted, the people did not possess it. So they could not give it to him. They could not give them. They could not give him what they did not possess. And so God steps on the scene. And you find where Jesus steps in. And you find blind Bartimaeus. And if I could get you to go to that scripture, actually. Mark the 10th chapter. It says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. No doubt he had heard the miracles. No doubt he had heard of this Jesus. No doubt he had heard the testimonies of others who had passed by. But he knew they had heard the name of Jesus. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible says that many charged him that he should hold his peace. In other words, they told him to be quiet. They said, look, you need to hush up. This is Jesus, and right now he's helping other people. And so the Bible says that he said, oh, well, Jesus heard me cry out. That's not what the Bible says. Surely I cried with a loud enough voice that Jesus heard. I said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That's what I said. Brother Garcia, Jesus heard me. I don't need any extra. I don't need to go all extra for Jesus. He heard me. Sure enough, he heard me. I mean, come on. No, the Bible says that he actually took his garments. He took his garments and he threw them aside. And he screamed again, that much louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And see, the thing about blind people is they have to be very meticulous with where they put things. Because if you're blind, I need to know, okay, yeah, I'm going to set this right here. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now check where my stuff is. Yes, my stuff's there. No, the Bible says that he didn't care, that he threw his garments aside. If I can tell you this, he was sick and tired of living by feeling. He was sick and tired of trying to live his life with something that he had tried over and over and over again. Amen. And if I can tell you tonight, sometimes we got to get sick and tired of living by our feelings. And don't let our feelings try to drive our faith. Because our faith cannot be driven by our feelings. Because your feelings are an emotional roller coaster. They'll go up and they'll go down. And they'll stay good for a while, and then they'll dip back down and go back up. With the change of every season, they will go in different directions. But if you can learn to cast away all your cares and put your cares upon Jesus and say, Jesus, thou son of David, I know I've already cried out once, but I'm going to cry out again, thou son of David, have mercy on me. more a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. And the Bible says, and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise. He calls you. And he's casting away his garments. He rose and he went to Jesus. And what we find is Jesus asking him a very interesting question. He says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what will thou have me to do unto you? And that guy was like, well, I got a backache. You know, my arm, this leg, this hamstring's been pulled out. You know, I've been having a cough lately, and you know, you can see I'm blind. You know. They don't want to talk about it. No. It's not what the Bible says. He says, what will thou have me to do unto you? And he said, that I might receive my sight. He got straight to the point. It didn't matter that Jesus was asking him again, what can I do for you? He got straight to the point and he said, look, I've got a situation. I know that you have the answer and I'm going to keep on coming. I'm going to keep on screaming. I'm going to keep on lifting up my voice and asking you, God, would you help me with this situation?
Says, you know what? I don't care what people say. I don't care that I've already
He says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And check this out. He says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may be open, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Keep that scripture up for a second. Look what he says. Here is a man who is bound up, who has his hands in chains. And sometimes we like to sing the song, oh, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. We love that song because we want the chains to be broken. But I wonder tonight how many of us are willing to stand up and in bonds be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. To stand on our feet and say, I don't care what chains I have. They cannot hold my faith. They cannot hold my faith. I am an ambassador in bonds, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I can talk about God. I can move God. I can talk to God. I can go into my prayer closet. I can go into my prayer and fasting chain. And I can enter boldly before the throne of God. Amen. I want to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I don't want to let my bonds and my chains stand in the way of me doing something for God. Amen. But I'm going to keep continually going back to God, no matter what. James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Diverse temptations, it just simply means when you've got a lot of trials going on, when you've got a lot of things going on in life that seem to shake the foundation of who you are. Count it joy. Why do we count it joy? Well, it says this, count it joy, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That word we love. Boy, I used to always say, man, I'm a good patient man. Man, I'm the most patient man I know. And my wife said, wait till you got kids. And I did. And I found out I'm not as patient as I thought I was, guys. You all got to pray for me. Because my kids do stuff, and I'm like, stop! Please! Leave it alone! Stop fighting! It's not worth it! For you, for me, for any of us! Man, it tries your patience. But understand, count it joy, because your faith worketh patience. And the Bible says to let patience have her perfect work, that ye might be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. Wanting nothing. Even as somebody who's bound by your situation, as somebody who's bound by your circumstances. Yes, I hate them. I hate my circumstance sometimes. I hate the trials. But the trials are there to make you stronger. They're there to help you. The Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you do not faint. In other words, don't give up on God. Keep going back. Keep talking to God. Keep telling God, God, I know it's not done yet. You've given me a promise and I haven't received it yet. I'm a school teacher and I always tell my students whenever they tell me, I don't get this. I said, yet. Not yet, you don't. But you're gonna get it. You just gotta keep on trying. You gotta keep on pushing. You gotta keep on doing what you're doing. Don't give up now. If you give up now, you'll never reach your goal. You'll never reach the place where you want to be. Amen. Romans, the 5th chapter. And the 1st verse says, wherefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. What? Why? It says tribulation worketh patience. Amen. And patience, experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Amen. I'm so thankful to know that we have a God who, despite our bonds, despite everything that we go through in life, the Bible says in Hebrew, the 12th chapter, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Sometimes that means, Brother Garcia, that we have to go back to God. Sometimes that means, man, I've been in the prayer line 12 times. Let me tell you something. I'm going to testify for a minute. My mom had a sore, and my brother can testify to this, on the side of her hip that was eating away at her flesh. And it continued day after day. And she would go to the prayer line, and she would get prayer, and nothing happened. She would go to the prayer line, and she would get prayer, and nothing would happen. She would go to the prayer line and get prayer, and nothing would happen. She would go to the prayer line and get prophecy, and nothing would happen. She would go to the prayer line, and people would tell her, you're going to get a miracle tonight, and nothing would happen. She would go to the prayer line, and people would say, oh, this is the night. This is when you're going to get it, and nothing would happen. She didn't stop going to the prayer line. She didn't stop what she knew to do. She kept going to the prayer line, night after night, service after service. And then, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she woke up one morning, and she had my father look at the sore, and he said, look, I don't understand it. He goes, let's go to the doctor. They went to the doctor, and the doctor said, it is healing itself. God is doing a miracle, and it wasn't the first time, it wasn't the second time, it wasn't the third time, but God moved. God wants to move for your situation. He wants to know, are you hungry? Are you hungry enough? Are you willing enough to go back? When it seems like nothing is working, is your faith strong enough to be the ambassador for Christ, whether you're in your chains, whether you're in your bonds, or whether you are living a life of freedom away from all that, away from the things that try to tear you down? And let me explain to you for real quick what I mean by bonds and chains. My mom, she's beautiful to me. Most beautiful woman in the entire world besides my wife. And she has a birthmark on her face. And she has been to service after service for that. Praying. She got it when she was 16 years old. Praying that God would remove it. She received prophecy, and she received testimony, and she received everything that she could get from all the preachers who would always come by and pray. 20, 30 years passed, and she was always getting prayer. And you know what? She still has it today, but it does not waver her faith. It will not judge. It will not pull her faith down, because she knows every service, every opportunity, she has an opportunity to go to the God that she knows and say, God, here I am again, Lord. Here I am again, Lord. I don't understand. It's me again, Lord. I've got a prayer that needs an answer. I've got a problem that I can't solve. There's a song. I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new. It's me again, Lord. We have a God who loves us. I'm going to open myself up and be a little bit transparent tonight. About a month or two ago, day one, I get a phone call. My grandmother had surgery and became so ill that doctors thought it was her last breath she would ever draw. We called for people in the church to pray, and people prayed. And I went to God and I said, God, it's me again, Lord. Our family needs our grandma. Our family needs her. She's the one who started all of this. How many years ago? We need her. And so we prayed. And God moved. And my mom came down from Washington. My aunts came over from Oklahoma and Arkansas and all kinds of different places. From Texas. My sister and my brother came from Texas. And everybody thought this was her last breath, but God moved. My mother went home, and 2 weeks later, my mother became severely ill. And doctors told her like this. They said, listen, you have a situation that requires a surgery, and you have a 10% chance of making it out alive. And if we don't do the surgery, you're going to die. And so family from all over rushed to see my mother. And when we got there, you know what my mom was doing? She was smiling. And I asked her, why are you smiling? Aren't you dying? And she said, I've got people praying. It's me again, Lord. And so we go before God, and I believe the church prayed and pastor requested prayer here. And within 24 hours of the prayer that went out, God had completely turned the situation around. And doctors said, look, the colors are changing. You're not going to need surgery. It's me again, Lord. A week later, my aunt goes into the hospital with water on her brain. And I am trying to figure out where I am in this world. And God, why is all of this happening? Where are you, God? Man, you seem so far away. I know I've preached. I've told people you're always going to be there. But right now, I feel like you're so far away. And God showed up and moved again. And then, a week later, my grandfather had a stroke. And I fell on my knees and I said, it's me again, Lord. And this stroke damaged his brain to the point where he began to get combative with my father. He didn't recognize nobody. And I said, it's me again, Lord. The situation did not change, and it has not changed. But every time I go to the prayer room, it's me again, Lord. Right now, he's in hospice. I'm closing tonight, if you can help me. He's in hospice, and he's not doing well. They're making him comfortable until God takes him. It's me again, Lord. It's me again, Lord. But you see, God did something that was completely different than I expected, because so many times throughout the last couple months, God has moved and made miracles and changed things, completely turned them around. But rather than doing that, God did something completely different. He gave my family. God's moved. And I feel like there's a peace that God's going to continue to bring to my family. That no matter what happens, we can always go to the prayer room. We can always go to the prayer closet. We can always come to the altar. We can always come to God and say, God, it's me again, Lord. A few months back, we had Brother Jeffers here. Whenever it was several months ago. It was a beautiful thing. We had such an awesome move of God. And we had so many things happening in our service and so many things going on. And we had a day where we kind of came and asked questions. And you got to understand me. Unfortunately, God is helping me. I'm a very prideful person. I don't like to share too much. I'm going to be transparent for a second. I'm going to tell you something that God revealed to me. was going through this situation that was going on in my family, Brother Jeffers came to me and I said, you know, I wanted to ask him a question. I said, what do you do when you have a problem and you're a minister and you're trying to have faith and you're trying to hold on to God and you're trying to do everything you can to trust God, but then things happen and you want to reach out? And my wife said, we need to talk to pastor, we need to reach out. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that, because in my mind I thought, if I reach out to pastor, if I reach out to somebody, it's going to demonstrate weakness in my life and in my spiritual walk with God. And I was confused, and I thought, my God, help me, would you just move the situation? And so I asked him a very simple question when he came. I said this. I said, brother, what do you do when you are trying to not be prideful, to talk to somebody, but you really don't want to let your walls down, but you need help, and you've got to talk to somebody. What do you do? Because I don't want to look like I'm not right with God, or I don't want to look like I have weakness inside me as a minister, as somebody who's trying to lead my family. And he looks at me, and I remember the words he said. He simply asked me a question. He turned it around and he said this. He said, did Jesus need Simon to help him carry a cross? And my answer was this. I said, no, because Jesus was God, and God has all power on heaven and earth. And boy, I felt excited. Woo! And he said, God told me you would say that. He said, but you got to realize that as wonderful and marvelous as it is that God robed himself in flesh and came and walked among us, the reality was he was still man. Right. And the reality is that our man, woman, the fact that we're men and women living in life, stand with me tonight. Sometimes the fact that we're flesh demonstrates the knowledge that we need God, and sometimes we need help from brothers and sisters. Jesus could not carry that cross on his own because he was a man. And sometimes when we think that we're strong and we're trying to be as religious as we can be. I know it sounds tacky, but we're trying to be as religious as we can be. God reveals to us. And Brother Jeffers told me that somewhere along the road, you were taught that being man was a sign of spiritual weakness. That's not true. Sometimes we've got to reach out and understand that there is a God that wants to guide us and lead us. And sometimes we need brothers and sisters around us and people who we can go and talk to. You can't just talk to anybody, because then those become those darts that we were talking about that they're going to attack you with. You got to find the people that you trust and the people who are walking close to God and those friends and those family members who can help you and pray with you and say, God, it's me again, Lord. Everybody step forward tonight. We're going to pray for just a minute. And I promise I'm going to release you, but I want you to lift your hands today. And I want you to just say, God, it's me again, Lord. God, I've got no matter what.
That's where I first met you long ago. that's where